Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. This is Word for Word, and this is number 411. Oh, wow. We're going to be in the book of Mark, beginning in chapter 6, verse 45. We stopped at verse 44 on the last show. I'll give my website before we get started. I'm going to have to give the whole thing, because if you just Google Pastor Steve, you're not going to get me. You're going to get a whole bunch of other ones. So it is https://www.pastor.steve.com. Everybody's been telling me how they're getting all these weird websites. If you just Google Pastor Steve, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get me. You get somebody. But not me. So let's get started here in the book of Mark, chapter 6. We will be starting at verse 45 today. Please have something to write down these notes. I can only say them once or twice. If you miss them, you have to go to my site and download the show or listen to it again. I can't keep repeating them. This is right after he fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay. Verse 45 of chapter 6 of the book of Mark. And immediately he made his taught ones enter into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he was dismissing the crowd. That's the crowd he had just fed. Verse 46, and having sent them away, he went away to the mountain to pray. In other words, he went up to talk to the Father. He had just done this big miracle and wanted to talk to the Father. Verse 47. And when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. They only made it to the middle because the wind was blowing against them, and they had to row. Verse 48. And seeing them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and wished to pass them by. He was just going to walk past them. Verse 49. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a phantom and cried out. Well, they'd never seen anybody walk on water before. Okay. Verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he spoke to them and said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 51. And he went up to them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were exceedingly amazed in themselves and marveled. Verse 52. For they did not understand about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Okay, let's stop right here for a second. They didn't get it about the loaves. They didn't understand the miracle that he did with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. Their heart was hardened. So when he sent them over, they were rowing this boat and nature was opposing them because of their hard heart. That's why it mentions it right here. That's what was going on. Pardon me, I had to cough. Verse 53 of chapter 6. And having passed over, they came to the land of Gennesar and drew to shore. Verse 54. And when they came out of the boat, he, that's Yeshua, was immediately recognized. Verse 55. Listen to this. And all that neighborhood ran about and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. They knew who he was. And verse 56, you can reference the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 12. Now, those verses are about the tzitzit that we are commanded to wear. That's the men are supposed to wear a four-cornered garment with tzitzit. Those are the fringes on the corners of the garment with a thread of blue, and they are to remind us of the law that was given to Moshe on the mountain. That's what they're for, and it's a commandment for us to wear them. Most Israelites today don't wear them. They don't do it. That's one of the commandments that's not obeyed. And people wonder, why are all these things happening to it? I have several of those shirts and I wear them. They're a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment that you wear them. Read the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 12. That's a commandment. Look it up. Okay? I'm not lying to you. Verse 56, and wherever he went into villages or cities or the country, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and begged him to let them touch, if only the tzitzit of his garment. That's that fringe I was telling you about. It's called a tzitzit. And as many as touched him were healed. Just touching him. Because of their faith. Because of their belief. Imagine if we had such belief and put it into operation today. Whew. That ends chapter 6 of the book of Mark. Let's get into chapter 7. And the Pharisees, this is verse 1 of chapter 7, and the Pharisees and some of the scribes assembled to him, having come from Jerusalem. Verse 2, and seeing some of his taught ones eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, I'll explain that in just a second. Verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Yahudim, those are the ones that were practicing Judaism, do not eat unless they wash their hands thoroughly, holding fast the traditions of the elders. Verse 4, and coming from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other, and it has traditions in italics here, which they have received and hold fast, the washings of cups and utensils and copper vessels and couches. They've got all kinds of rigmarole attached to Judaism. Well, this hand washing thing was from the belief that a demon could enter you if you ate with unwashed hands. That's where it comes from. That's what they help. That's one of their rigmaroles that they go through. Oh, you'll get a demon. You'll get a demon. Okay, well, Yeshua's gonna put that to rest shortly. Verse 5 of chapter 7. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your taught ones not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Yeah, there you go, the traditions of the elders. That's all they were concerned with, okay? Verse 6. And verse 7. They had, you can reference this. The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 19. the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. And that's the references for verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, "And he answering said to them, Well did Yeshayahu," that's Isaiah, "prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it has been written, This people respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Verse 7. "And in vain do they worship me, teaching as teachings the commands of men." Okay, here's verse 8. "Forsaking the command of Elohim, you hold fast the tradition of men." Verse 9. "And he said to them, Well do you set aside the command of Elohim in order to guard your tradition." Verse 10. And for verse 10, you can reference Exodus 20. 12. Okay, Exodus 20:12. That's Shemot, that's going forth. Deuteronomy, or Devarim, these are the words. Chapter 5, verse 16. "For Moshe said, Respect your father and your mother." Those are the references for that part of the verse. The next part of the verse, you can reference Shemot, that's going forth. Exodus 21, 17, and Vayikra, that's Leviticus 20, verse 9. Second part of the verse, of verse 10, "And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." They set aside that. Verse 11, "But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is korban," Q-O-R-B-A-N. And in parentheses it says, "That is a gift." Verse 12. "You no longer let him do any matter at all for his father and his mother." Out of love, he doesn't get a chance to respect his father and mother. Verse 13. "Nullifying the word of Elohim through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such you do." Here it comes in verse 15. Verse 14, "And calling the crowd to him, he said to them, Hear me, everyone, and understand." And here's verse 15. "There is no matter that enters a man from outside which is able to defile him, but it is what comes out of him that defiles the man." Verse 16, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, if you don't wash your hands before you eat, you're not going to get a demon. You're not going to be cursed. You're not going to be defiled. You're just going to get a little dirt in, maybe with your food, and it's going to go out when it gets processed later on, okay? verse 17 of chapter 7. And when he went from the crowd into a house, his taught ones asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside is unable to defile him? In other words, make him ceremonially unclean. Verse 19, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purging all the foods. In other words, you're going to go to the bathroom later, and it's going to go. Verse 20 of chapter 7. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? Verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil reasonings, adulteries, whorings, murders. Verse 22, thefts, greedy desires, wickedness, deceit, indecency, an evil eye. Now that means greediness, okay? Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these wicked matters come from within and defile a man. The defiling is what, how you act. Okay? That defiles your spirit. If you do any of those other things, it defiles you. Makes you unclean. Verse 24. And rising up from there, he went to the borders of Zoar and Zidon. That's Tyre and Sidon. Okay? And entering into a house, he wished no one to know it, but it was impossible to be hidden. Verse 25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Verse 26. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She was not an Israelite woman. And this is what he said to her. This is verse 27, and you can reference the book of Matthew, verse 15, or chapter 15, pardon me, verse 27. Matthew chapter 15, verse 27. And Yeshua said to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And dogs was a derogatory term for non-Israelites in those days. That's what they called them. And he's speaking of the children of Israel. Let the children of Israel be satisfied first. Because that's who he came for. It is not good to take the children's bread, in other words, the blessings meant for the children, and give it to the dogs, the non-Israelites. Now this woman knew who he was. Verse 28. There's going to be some explanation going on here. Verse 28, but she answering said to him, yes, master, for even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Verse 29. And he said to her, because of this word, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Verse 30. And having come into her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. All right, let's stop right here. After the second coming, I'm going to teach you something here. There are going to be those that are not Israelites that will be alive. Not everybody's going to get killed. Only the evildoers, those that have not been the enemy of true Israel, have not tried to harm us and have not tried to oppose Elohim, Yahweh, okay? They haven't been in opposition. Now, Yahweh is the divine being of the entire universe, including everything on this planet. Everything. He is the creator and the divine being. These non-Israelites are not going to be made into Israelites. They're not going to receive eternal life. They're not going to be allowed into the city, but they won't be destroyed because they have not been a direct enemy. It tells you who's going to be destroyed. The enemies and the wicked. Okay? The enemies and the wicked. Now, you're going to have to admit, if you know anybody that's not an Israelite, some people are nice. And you don't hate them just because they're not an Israelite. That's not right either. Okay? We need to think, I hate them all. Well, that's you. Okay? If you want to be that way, that's fine. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't tell you to do that. It says hate evil. Hate the minions of evil. Hate the doers of evil. Hate Satan's children. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. She was not what you would call a Jew. She wasn't one of them. She was just a person of another race. She wasn't of Israel, but she wasn't of the enemy seed line. So he remotely cast the demon out of her daughter as a favor because she stated her belief and had great belief in him. All right. You have two dogs. Let's go to dogs here. One dog is a really good dog, and he's nice and he's friendly, and you pet him and he's just great. And he's a dog. And there's other dog that's mean and vicious and tries to bite everybody all the time and will attack children. You put that dog down. But they're both dogs. There are different kinds of dogs. Doesn't make that nice dog a human being, a person. Just makes it a good dog. See what I'm saying? If you can see that parable, can you understand that? You hate evil. You hate those that do evil. And vengeance is going to come on those that are evildoers, not necessarily on every bipedal hominid that's living on the planet. If they're not doing evil and they're not the enemy of Israel and they're not trying to hurt us and they're not of that satanic seed line, that's the qualifier right there. If they're not of the satanic seed line. Now, the satanic seed line will all be destroyed. They're different than this Syrophoenician woman. Okay? She wasn't Israel, but she wasn't of the satanic seed line. There is a difference. Now, there are people that preach that, oh, the Jews can be saved. No, they can't. Nope, nope, nope. They are of that seed line. And if they have one drop of that blood going through their veins, Yahweh has decreed that they will be destroyed. And that's how it is. Now, that doesn't please everybody. I'm not here to please everybody. I'm here to give you the word and what it says. And you have to coordinate all the sayings in the word, not just take one passage and run with it. You have to take it all. It's all one book. And it's all to the children of Israel. It's all about the children of Israel. It's all for the children of Israel. So there's a little lesson on the Syrophoenician woman. She was not one of the satanic seed line. And Yeshua had mercy on this non-Israelite because of her faith. Yahweh is the divine being. She believed. He's not her redeemer. He's not giving her eternal life. He's not making her Israel. He had mercy on a good dog. There you go. Good dog. Verse 31 of chapter 7. And again, going out from the borders of Zoar and Zidon, that's Tyre and Zidon, he came to the Sea of Galil, that's Galilee, okay, through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. Verse 32. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they begged him to lay his hand upon him. Verse 33. He put his, and taking him away from the crowd, he put his fingers in his ears, and having spit, he spit on his hand and touched his tongue, and he touched his tongue. Verse 34, and looking up to the heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Verse 35. And immediately his ears were opened, and the binding of his tongue was loosed, and he was speaking plainly. Verse 36. And he ordered them that they should say it to no one. But the more he ordered them, the more they published it. That's verse 36. Verse 37. And they were immeasurably astonished, saying, he has done all well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And that ends chapter 7 of the book of Mark. So we've done a little bit of teaching here in chapter 7. Let's get into chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, let me get a little drink of coffee here. I needed that. Verse 1 of chapter 8 of the book of Mark. In those days, the crowd being very great and not having any to eat, Yeshua called his taught ones near and said to them, verse 2, I have compassion on the crowd, for they have now been with me 3 days and do not have food to eat. Verse 3, and if I dismiss them unfed to their home, they shall faint on the way. For some of them have come from far. Verse 4. And his taught ones answered him, how shall anyone be able to feed these people with bread here in the desert? Here we go again. Verse 5. And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. This is the second time, different occurrence. Verse 6, and he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his taught ones to set before them, and they set them before the crowd. Verse 7, and they had a few small fishes, and having blessed, he said to set them also before them. Verse 8, and they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets of broken pieces. Verse 9, and those eating were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. That's the second time this happened. 5,000 the first time and 4,000 the second. Because he willed it. Verse 10. And immediately entering into the boat with his taught ones, he came to the parts of Dalmanutha. Verse 11. And the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, trying him. Reference, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, and Luke chapter 11, verse 16. Matthew 12, 38, and Luke 11, 16. Verse 12, and sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Stop right here. Generation is genea, and it means race. So I will read it thusly. Why does this race or ethnic group seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign shall be given to this race. Reference Matthew 12:39 and Luke 11:29. That's Matthew 12:39 and Luke 11:29 on verse 12. Verse 13. And leaving them, again entering into the boat, he went away to the other side. Verse 14. And they had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Verse 15 of chapter 8, you can reference Luke 12, verse 1. That's Luke chapter 12, verse 1. And he was warning them, this is verse 15, saying, mind, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herodias. That's Herod, the ruler. Verse 16, this shows you how blind they were. Let me get a little hit of coffee. Verse 16, and they were reasoning with one another, saying, because we have no bread. They thought he was talking about bread leavening. Verse 17, and Yeshua, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Verse 18. And you can reference Yechiyahu 12:2. I think that's Isaiah. I can't remember where Yechiyahu is. Yechezkel. This is very small print, even in the large print Bible. It's Yechezkel. That's Ezekiel 12:2, and Jeremiah 5:21. That's Ezekiel 12:2 and Jeremiah 5:21 for this verse. Having eyes, this is verse 18. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Verse 19. When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets filled with broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 12. Verse 20. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets filled with broken pieces did you pick up? And they said, 7. Verse 21. And he said to them, how do you not understand? Verse 22. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Verse 23. And taking the blind man by the hand, he led him out of the village, and having spit on his eyes, laying hands on him, he asked him, do you see it all? Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Verse 25. Then he placed his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw all clearly. Verse 26. And he sent him away to his home, saying, do not go into the village. Verse 27. And Yeshua and his taught ones went out to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his taught ones, saying to them, who do men say I am? Verse 28. And they said to him, Yochanan the Immerser, and the others, Eliyahu, but others, one of the prophets. Now for verse 28, you can reference Mark chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. That's Mark 6, 14 and 15. And Luke 9, verses 7 and 8. That's Luke 9, 7 and 8. Verse 29. And he asked them, "And you, who do you say I am?" And Kepha, answering, that's Peter, said to him, "You are the Messiah." And you can reference the book of John, chapter 6, verses 68 and 69, for verse 29. That's John 6, 68 and 69. Verse 30. And he warned them that they should speak to no one about him. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the son of Adam, that's a specific racial designator of who he was, pure blood, Adamic seed line, that the son of Adam has to suffer much and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, to rise again. He's telling them, they're going to kill me and I'm going to get up after 3 days. Verse 32. And he was speaking about this openly. Then Kepha, taking him aside, began to rebuke him. See, don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, you can't say that. Well, this is what he said. Verse 33, and turning around and seeing his taught ones, he rebuked Kepha, that's Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's adversary, okay? He's not calling him the Satan, because the word Satan means adversary in Hebrew, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, for your thoughts are not those of Elohim, but those of men. Verse 34. And calling near the crowd with his taught ones, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his stake and follow me." That's verse 34. You can reference Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. And Luke chapter 14, verse 27. That's Matthew 10:38 and Luke 14:27. Listen to this. Verse 35. For whosoever desires to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for the sake of me and the good news, that's the gospel, okay, he shall save it. You can reference Matthew 10, verse 39, Luke 17, verse 33, and John 12, verse 25. That's Matthew 10, 39, Luke 17, 33, and John 12, 25. Now that's save his life. In other words, save his life here. If you're worried about your life here, you're going to lose your eternal life. You'll be cast in the lake of fire if you worship and stuff and worry about this life. And then, but whosoever loses his life, that's this life, this earthly life, for the sake of me and the good news, he shall save it. He will have eternal life coming to him when he is resurrected. The first guy who wants to save his life here and stay alive will lose his eternal life, and he won't make it past the second death. He'll suffer that second death. But the one will only die here and not see the second death. He will have eternal life. That's what that verse means. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gains all the world and loses his own life? His eternal life. Okay. Verse 37. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? You can't buy eternal life. Verse 37. What shall man give in exchange for his life? Verse 38. And this applies today, big time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 applies to verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinning generation, ethnic group of people or race, of him, the son of Adam, also shall be ashamed when he comes in the esteem of his father with the set apart messengers. That's a direct quote. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. That ends chapter 8, and that's going to end the reading itself for today. Now, he told them back in verse 15, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herodias. That's the teachings and the sayings and the rules and laws of those people. The tradition of the elders, the lies of Herodias, who was an Edomite. Don't follow those teachings. That's what he was telling them. They couldn't get it. In one of the other books, he explains that to them. Talking about the teachings. But on their own, they just couldn't. Duh. Okay, that's one of those things. That's a duh. So, that ends the scriptures that I'm going to read for today. This has been some pretty powerful stuff. It's going to continue on through the book of Mark, and it's going to be repeated again in the book of Luke. These first couple of gospels, first couple of books, are about his life and teachings. Now there's going to be other stuff later, but there's going to be some repetition. There will be some difference, perhaps, in the way some of the things are phrased from book to book, because they were written by different people. Okay, they're different recountings by these different men, and they phrased it different ways. They left a little out here or added a little here. It's all the writings of these men. And not everybody writes the same. They had different writing styles. They had different thoughts. They had different remembrances. Some of them were smarter than some of the others, but they were all his chosen ones, okay? And they are recounting his story and all the miracles that he did. That in itself is a huge task, okay? I mean, just straight up, getting it down on paper. A lot of it was written in Hebrew, but we don't have either Hebrew or Aramaic. We don't have the scrolls because what they were written on didn't stand the test of time. It deteriorated because of age and moisture. A lot of it just crumbled, okay? There are documents that were found that have been confiscated that are not released, that are in the custody of some of the enemy. They're hiding a lot of things because it debunks their tradition of the elders. They're still doing that today, okay? They're still following that tradition, the Babylonian tradition that they brought from Babylon. That's where the tradition of the elders comes from. I had a drink of coffee. Get so dry. We're having to combat that today. A lot of that Judaizing has been inserted in the modern Judeo-Christian churches. They are greatly Judaized. I'm just, you know, I'm telling you that that's how they are. That they teach, you know, Judeo-Christianity. What does Judaism and all its satanic teachings have to do with Christianity? You can't have a Judeo-Christian church. It's either Christian or it's Jewish. Not both. Can't be both. You can't combine them. Now, the Talmudists have tried to steal some of the birthright of Israel, and they mimic some of the stuff that's in the Bible. And they do that openly to proclaim, oh, see, we're the chosen ones. And then they violate all the real laws and they revile Yeshua, Messiah. Oh, they hate him. He's not the Messiah. His disciples stole the body. That's one of the lies they taught. They're still saying that today. They're trying everything they can to put the lie on Scripture. Well, and we're exposing their lies. Hooray, hooray. Time for me to go. May Yahweh bless and keep you. I will catch you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.